Okay, I learned a lot about this whole process with David, and I'm talking about fertility, the issues around it, the stigma that still exists in some places, why we don't have more open conversations about it, the cost of it, the mental cost of all of it. It's a conversation we need to have more, and it's one we are going to have on this show because it is an important issue in our country right now. We're going to have these conversations with someone who knows a lot about all of this. His name is Pete Anevsky. He's been on once before. He's from Progyny, the CEO. Pete, it is great to talk to you again about this.
John, it's great to be back. Thank you so much. We had a really good session last time. Had a lot of people comment on it, so I feel like we educated a lot of people. Hopefully, we can do the same more today. So really excited to talk to you again.
First and foremost, yeah, and ditto to all that. First and foremost, it's a very common thing for a couple to go through fertility treatment or this whole process, right? It's probably more common than most of us realize.
Sure. So based on the CDC, one in five couples suffer from infertility. And really the reason for that, if you think about it, if you think about people that you know, people are waiting longer and longer in life to have a baby. The biological clock is real. And so when you're in your 30s, and based on the last data reported by the government, more women 30 and over had children in the US in the last year than under 30. So when you're in your 30s, especially in your mid-30s, you pretty often need the help of fertility treatment through a reproductive endocrinologist.
This can be obviously a very emotional journey for people. Let's even strip the finances out of it for a moment. Couples have often been through so much to even get to the point where they're talking to doctors about it and trying to get help. I mean, this is a real struggle and a journey for couples.
I think you said it well. If you think about it, right, we grew up being warned, watch out, you're going to get somebody pregnant, watch out, be careful. When you're trying to have a baby and you can't, that stress and anxiety, especially on the couple, is very taxing. And so when you're trying to build a family, it's a primordial need, and you can't do it. And then worse, when you can't afford to do it on your own, and many companies who don't have coverage, that makes it a hugely taxing, anxiety-ridden process.
I don't think people realize how much it can cost. Obviously, there's like sometimes like quick success stories where you get an egg retrieval and then you get a transfer and it worked great. And then you can do a second and a third one. But even that journey I just described is in the tens of thousands of dollars. But Pete, I know people that have, and obviously in our case, we used a surrogate. That's not most cases. That's a whole other ball game. But I mean, people are spending $50,000 to $60,000 or more sometimes, Pete, because they just have this love that they want to share with another human.
There are plenty of stories where they're spending even more than that. And so the challenge is, especially when you don't have coverage and you're going at it yourself versus having a company like Progyny help you through the journey, you end up going through a journey that's difficult, where navigating through that journey and decisions you have to make are complicated and many times don't result in a healthy pregnancy and a healthy baby. And so you do have to do repeated cycles. One cycle could cost $20,000 to $25,000 between the medical treatment and the drugs. And so when that's the cost and the success rate in the country, the average live birth rate is only 43% in the US. That's difficult. If you think about that, you have less than 50% chance of being successful the first time. So yes, you end up spending all your savings, you end up running up credit cards, et cetera, unless you have access to care, which is really important.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, but I get it, right? Like, you want this. This is a huge thing, and maybe you've saved up half of that, and then the first cycle doesn't work, and you're already so invested in all of this. And this is where we get to you, right? And your team at Progyny. We got to take a commercial break and a traffic break in 1 minute. But before we get there, just really quickly, and we'll dive deeper into it. Basically, what is Progyny?
Progyny is a fertility and family building benefits manager. We have a network of reproductive endocrinologists, and we go to large employers, and we have large employers We advocate for employees to have them cover the benefit. Not every health plan covers this benefit. Not every company covers this benefit in the U.S. Roughly 50% do, the others don't. And even more so for smaller employees, which we'll cover more after the commercial break, it's even a lower percentage, more like 20 to 30%.
And sometimes that coverage is incomplete, partial, or doesn't really, you know, get you to the finish line like yours hopefully is able to do. We're going to do more on this in a moment, Pete. Just hang right there on the line because this is an interesting topic, and we're getting a ton of texts from people who have been through 7-8 year journeys and have seen the other side of it and are thankful they did it, but it was an emotional and a financial cost. And there's things that you can do, even if you're out of this age already, maybe your kids or your grandkids. Let's start a little groundswell here to get more and more companies signing up for this, and we'll explain how that all works in a moment. Okay. Pete, there's a lot of great reasons why I think a company would want to provide fertility care or insurance to their employees. Does this end up costing employers like a ton of extra money when they sign up, or is that like that? Is that one of the barriers, or do they see that it's actually not as much as maybe they think? Walk me through that a little bit.
Sure. So the easiest way to put it into perspective for an employer is that adding this benefit would cost you about just under 2% more for your overall medical plan.
Whoa.
Right. So that is not a huge expense if you think about it, especially considering, as we talked about in the previous segment, what the incidence and prevalence, how many people suffer from infertility, 1 in 5. A lot of people are surprised when they find out their employer doesn't have this coverage. And a lot of people would make a decision about where to work, given the fact that many employers do have this coverage. So it's a really important benefit to have, not only to attract and retain employees, but also to show your employees that you really care about them. You know, a huge need. Natural fertility in the U.S. and around the world is declining. So really, really important for employers of every size.
I think that, yeah, when you think about 1 in 5 people, so you look at your pool of employees, 1 in 5 of them probably dealing with this in some way, shape, or form. I don't know, that's similar to cancer rates, not to compare one to the other, but I would assume that I wouldn't even like think twice about making sure my employees who were dealing with cancer had the proper treatment and that my health coverage covered them. And, you know, again, I don't want to compare apples and oranges here, Pete, but I think that is a fair comparison. Why not this other thing too?
It is a really good comparison. It's more prevalent than diabetes. And the reason why it's not covered is because, you know, treating infertility is relatively new in the world of medicine, right? It only started, you know, in the late 70s. And so because of that, it hasn't been included as an essential medical benefit, or part of the essential medical coverage. But that's why companies choose to cover it, and it's not a requirement. Hopefully that'll change. Hopefully our efforts and efforts of others in the industry will help that change. One of the things is you talk about creating a groundswell that people can do is people can go to their benefit department, talk to HR. They can go to our website at progeny.com/talk-to-HR on tips on how to talk to HR department about this. And it's that kind of groundswell that will get employers to pay attention to including this benefit if they're not already doing it.
Yeah, and I think that's so smart to do. I'm glad you have like a tip sheet for that so you don't just bust in the door and say, you better do this or I'm leaving. And because I don't think anyone would do that anyways, but just have like an honest and frank conversation. Maybe the HR person hadn't realized or the boss hadn't quite thought of it. They can look into it a little more. Maybe it doesn't happen right away, but you start to get these bosses and these companies starting to think about it. And then, Pete, I imagine it's a little bit of like a snowball rolling down the mountain. You get one company in Chicago right across the street here to do it. Well, guess what? More employees are going to want to stay there. There are more employees are going to want to go there. Now the competitor across the street is going to feel that pressure to do that. Really? I mean, that's got to be what we're talking about here.
Yeah, no doubt. It's happened to us over the last 10 years. We just hit our 10-year anniversary. So whenever we would penetrate an industry, then many would follow within that industry. Similarly, as you're describing it, smaller employers, especially now with the addition of Progeny Select, that can address small employers. Now you can act like a big company with big benefits, and you can cover You gotta have coverage that, again, attracts and retains employees. And a lot of times that's a little bit more difficult for smaller employers competing against large employers with bigger benefits. So from every aspect, it makes sense. But yeah, it is a snowball effect. It continues to grow in coverage. When I started this 10 years ago, coverage was around 25% in terms of employers. It's now up to 50 in round numbers and growing. And so we fight hard every day and try and create as many tools and products that employers can utilize to be able to address this very huge growing need.
I want to talk to the listeners now who are maybe out of this age range already. Maybe you've had kids or grandkids, but you're still working. I think you being an ally in this is a huge thing too. So even if you're like, well, this doesn't affect me, maybe you know of your kids or friends' kids that have gone through this. Maybe it's up to a lot of us who might be out of that age range, Pete, to step forward and speak for that younger generation too.
Well, I'll add one more. Maybe you know people who don't even realize they're infertile yet because they haven't started trying to have a baby. And once they start trying to have a baby, then all of a sudden they have a challenge and they realize they're infertile and they need the assistance. So whether you know somebody today, you're likely going to know somebody in the future, and they could be your, as you said, your relatives, friends, et cetera. One in five is pretty common. It's pretty unlikely that you're not going to know somebody.
Yeah. You already kind of addressed that this sounds expensive. 2% more on your total health insurance really isn't. And when you talk about attracting and keeping talent, you know, as we look to the younger generation, which, you know, values benefits sometimes even more than the ultimate paycheck, what a great way to attract people that even maybe haven't even started having that family planning discussion, but are now thinking, hey, this company values this. You know, they've also, oh, good, they've got a good maternity, paternity care leave. I mean, you can really start to tap into what Gen Z is talking about in terms of wanting to grow families. And also, by the way, Pete, solve a big national problem that we have of people not having enough babies.
There's no question. There's also the millennials. The millennials are your largest percent of workforce right now. And the millennials are in that sweet spot of age where average woman going through fertility treatment is 36 years old. And so it's those sizable populations that are important to your company and important to the future. Your millennials are your middle management, important, the glue that holds the company together, really, really important to make sure that you're taking care of them so that they can take care of your customers.
Yeah. And obviously a lot of these couples, most of them are probably male, female couples, but we went through fertility, at least the creation of the embryos with an egg donor. So I imagine your services, Progeny Select, also has kind of a plan structure that can help same-sex couples too.
Yeah, we have not only same-sex couples, but yes, we also have adoption and surrogacy. As you mentioned, that you went through surrogacy. We also have single moms by choice, to the extent that folks can have a baby without having a partner if they so choose. So we run the gamut, LGBTQ+, across the board.
That's great stuff. Pete, you mentioned the website once, and I love that / talk to HR. Progeny.com is a great place for people to get started. We're going to have more chats like this so we can answer more listener questions, and I'd love for people to text them on in because then we'll be better prepared. We'll give Pete some time to answer those questions, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Okay, and again, I ask everybody, go to the website, create the groundswell so that everybody can have access to really good care, not just certain people.
I love that.
Thank you so much, John, for having us on.
I want to spell that for people, progyny.com. Yeah, let's start the groundswell. Everyone talk to your HR. And when you do so, I'm curious what the answer is. So let me know what they're all saying out there because I want to get some feedback. That's Pete, who does great work as a CEO of Progeny, and we appreciate his time today.